Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, praise the Lord. Hello. Welcome to Sunday night. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you so much for this day and everything in it. Thank you for this message. I believe it's from your heart to the body. I believe you are raising up people who are strong and stalwart. And I ask that tonight you speak, give me the right words so that I can make it clear. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So tonight we are doing the second part in a series. It's called Running the Race That Is Set Before You. This is part two. And the name of part two might be called Your Life Is Like a Building. And we talked about this a little bit last week. If you did not get to see last week's Facebook, I want to encourage you to go back and watch it. It's still posted out on the same Facebook page, so it'd be from December 20th. And take a look at that, because that's kind of a little bit of foundation about running the race. And a quick review, Hebrews 12, starting at verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I don't know if you can see my shirt. It says marathon. And I thought that was kind of funny that I happen to be wearing this shirt today. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a long-term race that you'll run for the rest of your life. So it's important how you view the race. Last week we talked about keeping your eye on the finish line, and that keeps you from going too far off the track, right? You don't, when you're running a marathon, you don't stop and run into town, you know, you keep your eye focused. It doesn't mean we don't do other things, but keep our eyes on the prize. Paul said, I have fought a good faith, I have finished my course. That's kind of interesting, because that implies that Paul knew what his course was, because how can you knowingly say, there, I did it, I finished my course, if you didn't have a full understanding what that course was supposed to be? So that means he had an idea what he was supposed to do in the earth before he went home, what he was supposed to accomplish. And I think God wants each of us to know for our life what the building is. What is the plan? What is the race you're running? Who are you? Why are you here? God wants you to know those things, and so he wants to help you understand those things. So it implies that Paul knew what his course was, but if you think about it, in the beginning of his life, Paul was clueless about his course. He was a religious zealot. He was sent, his parents sent him to live in Jerusalem to be discipled under Gamaliel, who was one of the most famous teachers of the time. He was part of the Sanhedrin, actually. And read you a little bit about Gamaliel to just show you how important this was. Gamaliel is recognized as a Pharisee doctor of Jewish law. Acts 5 talks about him. It says he was a man held in great esteem by all the Jews. He occupied a leading position in the highest court, the Great Council of Jerusalem, and appears as the head of the legal slash religious body. So that's who Paul was discipled under, and yet as a disciple being taught so well under the Torah and under the Word, he became a person that not only did not believe in Jesus, but he felt like it was his goal in life to destroy Christians. So you can see how far off he was from his course, and yet he did love God. And because he loved God, God gave him a course correction. And he spent a lot of years with God. Remember, he spent many years with God, I think probably pounding out the understanding of his building, his blueprint, his race, so he could understand the course that was set before him. And the same is true of us. We, most of us pretty much did not serve God, at least I did not serve God in my earliest years. And then there were some years of kind of figuring out, I need God, I need to serve God. Wait a minute, what is my purpose here? And so kind of coming to terms with that. So how can we say at the end of our life, I fought the good fight, I ran, I finished my course. And that's the goal, is that each of us will be able to say at the end of our life, there, I did it. I finished what I was put here to do. But how can we do that if we don't understand what we're put here to do? So basically, the main point I want to talk about tonight is how you build your building. How do we approach building our life in the long run. It's like a very large project, isn't it? Because you will serve God the whole of your life. And so I'm just going to read you again. This is a little bit of review again. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And fellow worker implies there's a place where it says God is our co-laborer. In other words, he's building the house with us. We cannot build it without him. In fact, we can't even know what it is. We can't even understand it without getting blueprints from God. You know, God is the only one who knows who you really are and what you were designed to do. So we work with him. We can't do it without him. He won't do it without us, meaning a build your building. Okay, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each person must be careful how he builds on it. If anyone's work, which verse 14, which he has built on it, remains, he will receive a reward. So we want to build in such a way that our building stands for eternity. Because what you build in the spirit is eternal. It'll last for all eternity. But what you build that is of the flesh, the Bible talks about that it'll pass through the fire, it will be burned. Works of the flesh will all be burned, but you'll be saved. It says so as by fire. Same set of verses. In fact, let me just say, that's verse 15. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet only as through fire. So the house that you are building or the race that you are running is your life. So verse 16, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So this is a crucially important, is to build your life to be a temple of the Spirit, okay? Because God has given us a lot, but if you'll notice, most people never really fulfill the release of the glory or the release of the presence in whatever their calling is. Most people never quite get to that point, but God wants us all to, all of us. Hallelujah. Okay, so if you were going to build a house, would you just run out and get a bunch of 2x4s and start nailing them together? If you did, you'd end up with a big mess and you'd have to tear it down and start over. So basically, what you want to do is spend time with God, piece by piece, getting the exact blueprints, the exact measurements. What is the house? What is it? I spent years, you know, what am I here to do? It took me a long time to understand. The interesting thing about these blueprints is we'd like him to hand them all to us in a big packet, rolls of, you know, here's what the foundation looks like, here's what the first floor looks like. But quite often, he doesn't do that. He gives us piece by piece, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. He gives us bits and pieces, and as we're faithful to do this piece, he says, okay, good, now let me give you this other piece. And we have to trust him. He's the wise master builder, right? We have to trust him to give us the right pieces in the right order and to even understand. So the whole process requires fellowship because everything comes out of fellowship with him. We cannot even begin to understand our blueprint without proper fellowship. So I want to quote, some of you know Miles Monroe. He's a great man of God. He's with the Lord now. But he spent, when I met him, he said he had spent 25 years studying purpose. And he had some interesting things to say. I believe he was an expert on the subject. And he said that the purpose of a thing is defined as this. The purpose of a thing is what was wanted that made the maker make it. What was wanted that made the maker make it? In other words, what was God looking for when he designed you? He says, I formed you in the womb. I knew you. What was he doing? You are different than me. I am different than you. Everyone in the body is different from each other, and that's by design. So there are some things we all have in common as a purpose. We all have in common. All of us, our number one purpose, number one for all of us, is to fellowship with our Father. That's before any accomplishment, before any building of buildings, is fellowship. That's what God wanted. This is review. When he made Adam, he didn't make him to win souls because there were no souls to win. He made Adam for fellowship. He wanted a son. When he made Eve, he wanted a daughter. He wanted a family, kids, children, people to love on, people to pour his love upon. God actually needs to have people. He needs an object of his love. He is love, and love needs an object. And this is hard for us humans to understand, unless you're a parent. God loves people. And the primary thing he wants is fellowship, and all the other stuff comes out of that. If fellowship is done right, it will all pour, be birthed out of that. Your ministry, your calling, your purpose, it will all be birthed or brought forth, right? Because how does a seed come forth? How are children reproduced? Because there's a uniting, right? That's the bride and groom picture. There has to be fellowship, there has to be oneness, and then there's fruit. So if you're called to ministry, that has to come out of fellowship and can come no other way. So a good building can only come out of proper fellowship. So your number one purpose in life, if you don't get anything else right, if you get that right, you'll be rewarded in heaven. God wants you, son or daughter, to be hanging out with him, just loving on him. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to know a lot. You don't have to be perfect in doctrine. He just wants someone to love that loves him. Period. And out of that, when you do that enough, you'll begin to understand some things about your secondary purpose, which might be to accomplish something or other in the earth, okay? So my primary purpose is to fellowship with my Father. That's it. Now, out of that has come some ministry, some helping of people, maybe a prophetic word here or there, some prophetic preaching, a ministry, but that is not my primary purpose, is it? No, my primary purpose is to love him and serve him and change my life to be pleasing to him. Amen? Okay, so what we have to do is get the blueprints from the architect, and he's the only one. So another thing Miles Monroe said, I want to say about purpose, he said, where the purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Now, let me explain how he explained it. I would encourage you to get his books if you're interested in going further with that. But he said, if you had a beautiful piano and the lid was closed and you didn't know what a piano was and you thought it was a table, you would use it to put a vase on, maybe you'd use it to put books on, but you would never play that piano, so there would be misuse or abuse. He said, but if you understand what a piano is used for, then you can learn how to play it to magnify its purpose. Okay, well, if you don't understand your purpose, abuse or misuse is inevitable. If you don't understand who you are and why you're here, you might launch out and say, I'm going to be a doctor, but really maybe you were called to be a missionary. So at the end of your life, no matter how great a doctor you were, you might not be able to say, there, I fought the good fight, I finished my course. Well, you finished a course, you know, hallelujah, no condemnation, but God's trying to get through to us that there is something better. Okay, so if we don't know the correct vision of the house, we might be building the wrong house or fulfilling the wrong purpose. So to me, part of seeing the finish line is knowing from God what is the purpose you're here on earth. Amen? Okay, so I want to... thank you, Jesus. Excuse me for looking at my notes here. I want to make sure I get everything that I'm supposed to say from the Lord. Some people might be listening to this saying, well, how do I get specifics from God that are that specific of a blueprint? God doesn't speak that way. God's not that specific. I want to tell you, first of all, that he is, and I'm going to prove it to you from the scriptures. I know a lot of you have read these, but I feel like God wanted me to take you through some of this. Now, remember it. I'm going to talk about the tabernacle and the temple and the instructions. And remember while I'm saying this that you are the temple of God. You are a temple. So here's when God gave Moses directions for the tabernacle, which was the mobile version of the temple before the temple was built, right? Temple just was the house of God, the place where God resides. That's what you are. That's what I am. We are the place in earth where God resides, okay? So when God gave instructions to Moses, he actually used 9 chapters in Exodus. 25 through 27 was about the construction of the tabernacle and everything in it. And then 35 to 40 was even more about that and about the performance of all the work that was to be done. So it wasn't just the building of the house, but how it would function, all the functions in it. So think about it, 9 whole chapters of specific and clear instructions. So when he gave this to Moses, just at the beginning, in chapter 27, it says, have them make a sanctuary for me and I will dwell among them. I think that's what he's saying to you and to me. Build a house that I can live in. Build a house on the earth that I can operate out of, that I can show my glory through. That's what he's saying to us. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. In other words, I'm going to give you a blueprint. In our case, many times he'll give it to us one piece at a time, and as we're faithful to do that, he'll give us more. Okay. So then he said, and I'm just going to give you this as an example of how specific it can be. Have them make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold inside and out and make a gold molding around it. Cast 4 rings for it and fasten them to its 4 feet with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. He didn't just say, make a box, you know, about the right size. No, he was so specific. Amen. Make poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold. Insert the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry it. The poles are to remain in the rings of this ark. They are not to be removed. Put into the ark the tablets of the covenant of the law, which I will give you. Make an atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide. Make 2 cherubim. He talked about how their wings were to be pointed, where they were to be positioned exactly. Place the cover on top of the ark. Put in the ark the tablets of covenant that I will give you. Talked about the placement of the cherubim. Make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide. So we might say to the inch, he's giving specifics for the temple he will live in or the tabernacle he will live in. This is amazing to me. And he goes on and on. He goes down to the plates, the dishes, the bread of the presence. He goes into detail. Make the lampstand of pure gold. How the cups on the lampstand. This is the specifics I'm talking about. So when we talk about, let me give you a parallel. Let's just say that you're called to be a pastor or a shepherd. I could give a million examples, but I'm just picking that out of the hat. Let's say that you feel led to start a church. Now, what you might do is just say, well, I've got the calling, so I'm just going to start a church. I'm going to invite people. I don't have a building yet, so I'm going to rent a space over here in this hotel to get started, and then I'm going to look for some land. You might do all that, but you know what? What I found is if you forge ahead and you try to do it, making the decisions yourself, quite often you run into failure, and then you think, well, why didn't this work? I'm obeying God. But the fact is, God never intended for you to go ahead and do it. He wants to do it with you. So instead of doing that, what we might say is, okay, Lord, I'm called to be a pastor. First of all, when would I start meetings and when would I invite people? Where do you want me to do it? We really try to hear from God about every meeting place, every retreat center, the timing of everything. I'm not going to say we get it perfect, but we really try to hear from God about everything we do. And what we see is then that brings success because it isn't our building, it's His building. When we've forged ahead, I remember a classic example of getting this wrong. I had a bright idea. I'm really big on having a bright idea. And usually I'm pretty good, you know, I'm getting better and better the older that I get about checking with God. But I remember one time I had this bright idea that wasn't so bright. And I talked to Edgar about it, and he thought it was a bright idea, too. And so we rented a building. We had flyers made. We invited all these people. We just really felt good about it. It wasn't God, and not one person showed up. Not one. And so I, you know, said, you know what? I apologized, Edgar. I said, you know what? I didn't do what I know to do. I didn't bring this before the Lord. I just had a good idea. But guess what? It wasn't such a good idea because the Lord wasn't in that. He wasn't doing it. He wasn't backing it. You know, and you'd think I'd know better, but sometimes you forget. And so, hallelujah. The idea of this is that God will be very specific, really, about everything. Now, the final punchline here in verse 25, or chapter 25, although he goes on for chapters and chapters about this, he says, see that you make them, all these things he talked about, according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. What's the mountain? It's where you fellowship with God. When you're on the mountain with God, is he will give you instructions. And as I say, it won't usually come all at once, because God will, first of all, we couldn't handle it. When God gives me too big a project, I might be overwhelmed with it. But if he says, go dig a hole this big and pour some cement in as a foundation and make it level. Oh, okay, well, I can handle that. Okay, good, you did that. Now, Holly, build some framework. You know, that I can do. So what he does is he gives us a piece, and as we go do it, he gives us another piece. So you can understand that there's a continual need to have continual fellowship, continual give and take, questions and answers all the days of your life. All the days of your life. Okay, is this an isolated thing? No, as you know, God did the same thing with David and the temple. David got the instructions and gave them to Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28. David gave Solomon the plans for all the temple buildings, for the storerooms, and all the other rooms, for the most holy place where sins are forgiven. He also gave him the plans for all he had in mind for the courtyards, the rooms around them, the storerooms for the temple equipment, the gifts dedicated to the Lord. David also gave him the plans for organizing the priests and Levites to perform their duties, to do the work of the temple, to take care of the temple utensils. He gave instructions how much silver and gold was to be used for the utensils, the lampstand, the silver tables. You can see again this incredible detail on every little thing, forks, bowls, jars, how much silver and gold in making dishes, the altar, the incense, on and on. And then King David said, as he's handing the plans to Solomon, King David said, all this is contained in the plan written according to the instructions which the Lord himself gave me to carry out. Okay, so we are to go in continually and get instructions from the Lord. Don't worry yet. Some of you are going, I don't hear from God. You will. You will. You will. King David said, now keep going here, to his son Solomon, be confident and determined. Start the work and don't let anything stop you. The Lord God whom I serve will be with you. He will not abandon you, but he will stay with you until you finish the work to be done on his temple. He is saying that to us today. He's going to be with you. He's not going to abandon you. He knows we don't know how to do this. He knows we don't know what we're doing. We're not wise master builders. He is. But what he is saying is he's extending his hand and saying, I will work with you and I will not abandon you. Be confident that I'm going to keep giving you each piece. I'm going to help you. And if it takes a while, don't worry. I'll help you. And if you, let's say you try to do a piece. I couldn't even begin to count how many times I've tried to do something I really thought the Lord told me to do. In fact, he did tell me to do, but I couldn't seem to do it right. You know what? The Lord doesn't fall off the throne. He's never moved. I just keep going back to him and saying, okay, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I must be doing something wrong. Can you help me? Can you show me where I'm missing it? Sometimes he'll give me a dream or a sentence, sometimes just a phrase that says, tells me, oh, I need to visit this, or I need to switch that, or I need to call so-and-so, or I need to read a certain book. You know, don't be discouraged. It's a life. That's the whole point of it's a marathon. It's a race you run for the rest of your life. I think some people think that because they have a calling and they can feel an anointing that it's all going to be built with this year, you know. Can I just say, this is a lifetime work of construction. The temple itself took decades to build. It was a big endeavor. You know why? You're not building you're not just throwing up some tent in your backyard and saying, okay, God, dwell in this tent. You don't want to do that. You are building the housing for the King of all kings. You are building a holy thing in the earth where God can reside. It's a big deal. Every detail, this is why every detail is so important. It's important to listen to God. You know, we just rush ahead and build stuff, and then it falls over and it's tilted and tipsy, and then we wonder, why didn't you bless it, God? Well, honey, that's not exactly what I was trying to build. Let me help you rebuild, okay? So it's a fellowship thing. So your house is this building. Again, I remind you that scripture, do you not know that you are the temple of God, the Spirit of God dwells in you? So let's talk about getting the blueprint. And some of you might be saying, well, I don't hear from God in those kind of details. Well, no one does it first. No, it just, I will certainly tell you, I did not. I couldn't hear diddle. I prayed for hours on end, day after day, and it took a while because I had to exercise my spirit man, right? We spend our whole life exercising our flesh, meaning, I don't just mean like exercise in a workout place. We exercise our natural ears, our natural eyes. We, you know, some people, not me, of course, but some people are experts on clothing and style and fashion and hair stuff and facials and toenails and trucks and cars and all kinds of natural things. That's exercising your flesh. But we are babies when it comes to exercising our spirit man. It's a completely different matter. We have to learn how to see in the spirit, hear in the spirit, perceive in the spirit, understand in the spirit. Every one of us has this capacity if we are born again, and every one of you, I believe, is born again. I hope. If not, you know, contact me and we'll get you born again. But in your born again spirit, you have the capacity for everything that God wants to do. So, but we've exercised our soulish realm, our fleshy realm, right? Some people know every new series that's on TV. I'm not complaining about that, but what I'm saying is, if that's what you exercise, that's what you're good at. You know, if you're a person that consistently studies engineering, that's a good thing, and you'll be an expert in that, but not in the things of the spirit. You know, if you're a person that studies quilt making, you'll be an expert at that, and that's awesome, but not in the things of the spirit. So this is a different discipline. It is a different study, and it takes time. It takes time. So God gave me a word picture, and this might sound childish, but sometimes we need a word picture to help us understand. So the word picture was like a little idea of, let's say that a person is facing a big empty field. You know, it's green grass, big empty field, and they're going to try to build a house. And to the left of this field, running along the edge of it, is this big wall, big giant wall, very high and very thick. And on the other side of that wall is an architect, which of course would be the Lord. Now the person building the house cannot see or hear the Lord, right? In our flesh, we don't have the ability to see or hear God. But when we're born again, and a little bit of a connection is, not a little bit, a communication connection is made, but it's not as open as it can be because we have to exercise our spirit man. So the picture God gave me is, at first, we might throw a request over the wall, and an envelope might come back with an answer. Sometimes, you know, when I first got born again, God would answer me, but it might take a few days. It might take a day or two for me to grasp, oh, I think God is saying this back to me through the scriptures or through, you know, some other means. Took a while to even understand that. But then let's say in our parable that the voice of God is heard and the person hears, come find the doorway. Well, Jesus is the door, right? The door might be considered the veil of the temple that was torn, right? The temple in the spirit, that's God's house, that's the holy place, the most holy place. Come therefore into the Holy of Holies, right? Come into the Holy of Holies by a new and living way. What's the new and living way? The blood of Jesus. So the person seeks and seeks and finds the doorway and is able to have a more open communication with God. This is a journey, and I think what God wants to say here is that sometimes people try to hear God and then they have a failure, and so they say to themselves, I don't hear from God. I don't. God doesn't talk to me. He talks to prophets. He talks to other people. He talks to Holly, but he doesn't talk to me. Okay, that is a false belief system and a lie. The Bible says that born again people, he said, my sheep hear my voice. You say, well, why don't I hear his voice? Because you are listening in a way that is in the natural. God wants to speak to you, and he wants to train you to hear him as well as anybody. Every New Testament believer has a covenant right to be trained by the Holy Ghost, mentored by the Holy Spirit, to hear his voice as accurately as anyone else, period. Okay? It is a training process, and you will have to spend time in your prayer chair. You have to spend time with God because you have to exercise your spirit and not your flesh. So let's say this guy building the house or trying to build the house finds the doorway and learns how a little bit to go in and out of this other side of the wall. And he begins to have the ability to have a little bit more conversation. And let's say that over the course of time, and generally speaking, it might even take some years, but over time, he becomes very adept at going in and even staying in for long periods of time, even becomes very much at home to where the other side of the wall, which is heaven, right, the heavenly realm, becomes home to him, becomes, because that's where your citizenship is, isn't it? And most of us have spent our life here in the earth, focusing on earth and letting our emotions be run by the things of the earth, rather than dwelling, abiding in the secret place. Where's the secret place? It's in the heavenlies. It's in the spirit. And the only way you can do it is with your spirit man. So there's a learning involved. There's a training involved. So let's say that over time, this guy building the house begins to be very much at home in the spirit. He's able to come and go at will, right? Now, was the door ever shut to him? No. But did he have to learn how to find it? Yes. Did he have to learn how to live on the other side? Did he have to learn how to come and go until it became what he does? See, when God first started talking to me, now God was actually talking to me for a while, and I knew it was his voice, and he confirmed it in many, many different ways. You know, I would give a word to somebody that was a total stranger, and they would confirm back. So that, what was he doing? He was training me. Oh, that was God. Oh, that was God. Well, one day he spoke to me and he said, I want you to do this. I want you to speak what I say to you, even when you're alone, until it becomes as normal to you as breathing. He said, I want you to get so good at it that you can speak what I'm saying. Like I'll whisper in your ear and then you say it. To a gang on the street or the president of the United States won't matter because you're so used to doing, you're so accustomed to spending time in the presence and manifesting the word and the works of God. That's what we're called to do. No matter whether you're called to teach, preach, be a missionary, raise children, work in a store, doesn't matter. All of us are called to manifest heaven and the earth by speaking what God is speaking. So how can we do that if we haven't fellowshipped with him until we have become, in a way we might say, one? You know, Jesus prayed in John 17 that we would be one as he and his Father were one, right? He who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Your flesh wasn't joined. You know, your soulish realm, that's not joined. But your spirit man is. So if you don't ever spend time in the spirit, it's not going to happen. You won't understand it. And you'll get to the end of your life and say, I never did figure it out. I never did know. But God wants to, he wants to help you. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter. The great thing about God, I love this about God, it doesn't matter if we're intellectual or not. God can talk to us. You know, there's a great man of God in South America. He's actually fairly famous down there. He moves in so much power. He plays the keyboard magnificently. He has Down syndrome. But everybody knows, you want a touch from God, go to that guy. And you know why? That man understands fellowship with God. It doesn't matter what else about him. What matters is he knows how to fellowship and he knows how to love with God's love. He has a very high place in the kingdom. I'm sure he's light years ahead of the rest of us. I'm sure of it. You see, God didn't care about our intellect. He doesn't care about our earthly wisdom or how smart we are, or even our great doctrine. I hate to say it. He does care about doctrine. But what he cares about most is that we fellowship with Him to a place where we understand how to manifest Him to others, how to manifest His love to others, how to manifest His will into our life. That's what makes things smoother. So, as this guy goes back and forth, you can imagine that he's getting instructions from the Lord, piece by piece, right? Brick by brick, we might say, and he's building it. I will just tell you, this is a life process. I'm just going to say Exodus 25:9, make this tabernacle, speaking of your life, and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. So just for me, I'm 64, and I knew in my 20s, I knew I was called to do some things for God. But I didn't have the ability. I had some giftings, and I really thought it was going to happen right away, silly me. But so much had to be built, and so much had to change. I had a million issues I had to get rid of, right? I had to get some deliverance. I had to get rid of some false belief systems. I had to be changed in a big way. I had to go through some processes to be changed, right? I had to work on building my building. I'm going to say this to you. Become an expert in prayer. It is worth, I don't care what you're called to do, it is worth every hour that you spend. It is worth it to gain expertise in the realm of the Spirit. And the way it's gained is through prayer. You know, two-way prayer. We pray in English, we pray in the Spirit, we listen a lot, right? God talking to us is also prayer, because prayer is communication two-way, right? So spend whatever time it takes and do it for the rest of your life. You will never be sorry, because, you know, people see us, you know, in this ministry, they see, I'll be honest, at the retreats, we see amazing things. We see miracles. We see all kinds of stuff happen that really is beyond us, right? Is it anything great about us? No, I assure you it's not. Is it because God, you know, picked? Nope. I'm pretty sure God, you know, I was probably in the last back end of the unchosen, truly. But God did give me enough wisdom. I remember in my 20s, as I would pray, He kept showing me the idea of building a building that He would reside in, right? And He showed me that while we build this building, while we're on earth, we build it through prayer, we build it through fasting, we build it through getting instructions and obeying them, simple things, right? He wants it to become the normal thing for us to get instructions from Him and do them. Gain instructions and do them. It can be the simplest thing in the world. It can be how to make coffee. It can be how to fix your car. I'm telling you, we have learned that the way of success is to get the directive from God. When God, we used to meet over here in Elgin, and things started to shift, and it became obvious that God was done with that. He was done with that meeting place. He was done with it. And when that, you know, because guess what? Sometimes instructions change. Seasons change. There's a shift. And when it became clear, we said, okay, we ceased. We didn't make a contract with them anymore. We didn't know what we would do or where we would meet. We just put it before the Lord. He said, we've obeyed you. We know that you said we're not meeting in that place anymore. Hallelujah. But we give this to you. We put it on the altar and we give it to you. If we don't meet, we don't meet. You have somewhere else, hallelujah, no problem. Well, right after that season, guess what? There was kind of a lockdown. So that's when we started Facebook, right? And then after that, our brother in Huntley graciously offered us to use Church on the Rock for once a month. So you see how God is? He had that plan all the time. But see, if I had to know the whole blueprint, I would have never gotten that one right. You know, if I just said, well, I'm going to wait till you tell me what to do before I quit Elgin, that would have been a bad idea, right? You won't always know the second floor when you're still building the first one, and that's okay. But it is a lifestyle, and God wants to encourage you. Now, I'm going to continue to speak on this over the next few weeks. I believe there will be four more of these, but, you know, hallelujah, it's all got to come from Him. But another thing I'm going to do in January is I'm praying into the idea of teaching a course on prayer that will go very deep into details. I think it'll save some time for people who haven't developed a lifestyle of prayer. So keep your eyes open for that. That will probably be end of January. Another quick announcement, we are having a retreat in Florida. It is on our website. I know some people are like, why would you have retreats so far away? We have learned a secret. And the secret is if someone will leave a place where they are and they will invest in whatever it takes to go somewhere else to be away with God, you know, to set that time apart with God instead of just go to a meeting casually, what happens is God waits there for people to show up. And we have seen miracles where he will do things people have been praying for years. We just at this last retreat, there was someone that received a miracle. They've asked God for years. It was very precious, very sweet, and they realized on the way home that they'd had a miracle, something they'd been praying for years. Well, you might say, well, why didn't it happen sooner? I don't know why it didn't happen sooner, but I can tell you why it happened at the retreat. Because it took a lot for this person had to drive for hours, leave their family behind. They had to invest some funding, right? They spent something to be with God. And He was waiting for them. His presence, nothing we did, His presence was in that room. His presence waits for people who are dedicated. I tell you the secret, God is tired of the half-hearted. Just saying. If you're wholehearted, and you'll be willing. I remember the first time there was in the 90s, there was enormous revivals happening. And I heard about it. And I was so hungry, thirsty, and desperate. I was really broken. I'd been through a lot of tough stuff, boy. And I was kind of broken. My life was terribly broken. And I said, I don't care how far, I don't care where I have to go. I had to go to another country, pay money, book a flight, book a hotel, rent a car. But you know what? I would have paid anything. I would have gone into debt if I had to go find God because they said His presence was there. Now, I have His presence in my life, don't get me wrong, but I just knew that if I made way for Him, He'd make way for me. Well, I got to the place. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I ended up going five times. The first time I went, they had two sets of doors, like glass doors. You'd walk in the first set, and you walk in the second set. And I remembered I walked through those doors, and it was like walking into God. I had never felt the presence like that before. It was so stunning. I'll tell you the truth, I don't remember who preached. I don't remember what band played. I don't remember what they played. I don't remember what they preached. It didn't matter. I knew enough about God to go find a hidden course, a huge area, huge, huge building. And they had half of it set up in chairs, and the other half was for people who wanted to just kind of soak. And so I went and hid in the back of the room. I found this little area I could kind of hide and just laid out in the presence. I don't remember what all those guys were doing, but I'll tell you something. I laid on that floor, and I got delivered from something that had bothered me my whole life that I didn't even know I had. The presence will meet you when you wholeheartedly seek Him. Fact. Hallelujah. So anyway, we have a retreat in Florida in February. We will also have another one in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin at the Osthoff in April. Both sets are on the website. So we would love to see you there. Ask the Lord, you know, ask the Lord if He would have you do it. And if He will have you do it, He would make a way. Okay, He'll make a way if He'll have you do it. Okay, so keep in touch with us. Thank you if you're our partners and you've been helping us. Thank you so much. We just bless you. We bless your going in and coming out. We bless your basket and your storehouse. We bless your family and your children and your children's children. I love you, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.